Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bechorot of Lamed Bet Amud Bet, looking at the first part of Mishnah Bet of this, the fifth parak of Bechorot. And the question we're going to deal with here is, who may eat of the Bechor that's a Baal Mum that the Kohen has slaughtered? But Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimane Yisrael Ima Kohen Li Bechor. A non-Kohen may not be invited to eat with the Kohen. Vetilel Matirin. Vafilu Goy. Now, Filu Goy, we'll find out, is a later addition to the Mishnah as the Gemara immediately approaches. Matnitin Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah, meaning who allows even a Goy to eat it? Rebbe Kivahi, Tatanya Bechor, Enim Nalal Allah Habureshikula Konim, the Rebbe Shammai, just like our Mishnah. We tell him, Mema Filu Zarim, if even non Kohanim. Kiva Mater, Filu Goy, Rebbe Kiva explicitly then takes the position that even a non Jew may eat of Basar Bechor. My time in Beit Shammai. Let's see why Beit Shammai says only Kohanim. D'chtiv, in the context of giving the Bechor to the Kohanim, the Torah says, Uvasaram yiyalacha kahazayat nufah chushok ha'amin. And it compares to them, it compares the Basar Bechor to Chazev Shok. Ma'atam Kohanim in Yisrael Lo, Facha Kohanim in Yisrael Lo. So just like Chazev Shok may only be eaten by Kohanim, similarly, Bechor. Uveitilel, Beitilel says, Hanimili Tam. That's only referring to a Bechor Tam, which is eaten as a korban. Aval Balmum, Tiv, Hatame Vatoyach Dav Yochalenu. The three psukim mention this idea that you could, a Tame and a Tahor could eat it together, Katsviv Chayal. And the three psukim are on the page. So Hatame Vatoyach Dav Yochalenu, and the notion is that if somebody who's Tame can eat it, certainly a non-Kohen can eat it. Uma tameh she'ein ochel b'kodshim kalim, a tameh cannot eat any korban, ochel b'bechor, but he can eat a b'chor b'almum. So zar she'ochel b'kodshim kalim, erodin she'ochel b'bechor, a non-kohen who's allowed to eat other korbanot, certainly he can eat a b'chor. So ikel mifrach, you could flip it and say, ma l'tameh she'ein huta b'chol b'avodat zibur. A kohen who's tameh, sometimes will is allowed to do avodah when rov ha'kohanim and rov ha'tzibur is tameh, Pesach, tamid, etc. Uveitilel atu b'avodah ka'amar, Vetilel says, but we're not talking about avodah, we're talking about eating, b'achila kamrinan. And when it comes to achila zar adif. A zar has more power when it comes to eating than a tameh, a kohen tameh. And therefore, if a kohen tameh can eat b'chor, certainly a zar tahor can eat b'chor, or for that matter, a zar tameh. Rabbi Kiva, this is b'chor b'amum, of course. Rabbi Kiva matar afilu goyim. My tam Rabbi Kiva, why does Rabbi Kiva extend it to goyim? It sounds like Beit Hillel would not. Because it says, katzvi v'chayal, atameh v'adjachwenu, katzvi v'chayal, you could eat like a deer or a gazelle. Matzvi ayam mutal goy, a goy can eat any deer, there's nothing sanctified about it. Absolim mutal av dekochal goyim, so therefore goyim can also eat psulim mukdashim. V'idach, and the Beit Hillel Beit Shammai response to that would be, tlata tzviva ayoktivi. As I mentioned, there's three psukim, they're all on the page, that compare psulim mukdashim to tzviva ayal. Chad, chrebi yitzchak, Reb Hoshaya, that's one statement. And that is, not mentioned here, we're going to have it later, but that is that if you use a short psule mukdashin to plow, not only is there a violation of avodah, but there's also a violation of, oddly enough, kilayim, as if you're using it and another animal together that's not its match. And that's because it's compared to tzvi v'ayal. Who says, how do we know that you need shchita for chayot? Because katzvi v'chayal, just like a shor needs shchita, so chayat, tzvi v'ayal. We had that in Chulin. V'irach matzvi v'ayal, b'turim v'nam b'chora, p'sul v'kashim b'turim v'nam b'chora. And the third comparison is, just like tzvi v'ayal have no b'chora, because they're chayot. Similarly, p'sul v'kashim, if it's a girl or female and she has a baby, then that young is not a b'chor. Okay. So that's the response to Rabbi Kiva. Tanu Rabbanan. Bechor ein machil oto l'nidot. Next piece. You cannot feed a bechor to a nida. Divrei Beit Shammai. We tell them, we machil oto l'nidot. You can. Mai tamen Beit Shammai, dechtiv, avusaram hi alach. And again, it compares to Chazav Shok. Ma tam nidot lo, afacha nidot lo. Again, nidot are not allowed to partake in Chazav Shok because they're tamei. Beit Hillel says, Hanimili Tam. The comparison in that pasuk, like we saw before, Beit Hillel's position, is only about a Bechor Tam. Aval Ba'almum, Atameh V'Tahor, Achalat, Ne'yochlana. The Tameh can eat it just like the Tahor. If it's a Bechor Ba'almum, then a Nida can eat it. Beit Shammai says, Hanimili Echad Entumay Yotzala Migufo. Beit Shammai has to contend with the pasuk, Atameh V'Tahor. So he says, yes, when can a Tameh, or what kind of Tameh, can partake of a korban, a psul mukdashim. That is, if he's tamei, a contact tamei. He touched the dead sheretz, touched in the vela, sat on a midras azav, even tamei mate. But hechad tumah yotzala migufo, when the tumah comes out of his own body, like a zav, a zava, you'll let it anida or a mitzora. Lo, the ashkechan the poly rachmanim in tumah yotzala migufo, then tumah eshein tumah yotzala migufo. And Shammai's response is that the Torah, the Mitzvah's continuation is that the Torah clearly distinguishes between those kinds of tumot, contact tumah, and tumah that comes out of the body. That not when the Mishnah in Pesachim, a Pesach Shabbat betumah, meaning when the Korban Pesach comes on Pesach Rishon, betumah, when a majority of the nation is tmei mate, lo yochlu menu zavim sora inchum zavod v'nidot v'yoldot. The five kinds of tumeim betumah yotzit megufor are not allowed to eat from it, and nonetheless, somebody who touched a nevela, touched sheretz, even tumei mate can eat from it. Okay, but Hillel says hatam hudugali rachmana. He says, yeah, in Korban Pesach, the Torah said tumei nefesh, meaning tumah of contact with the dead, and kavachomer when the contact is with less than aviyavora tumah. So therefore, the Torah makes that distinction. And tumah yotzei migufo is not included. Here the Torah says, "Tamei v'ator yochlanu." Any tamei, even tumah yotzei migufo, which means, therefore, nida can eat b'chor ba'almum. Loshna. Tana Rabbanan. Next piece. Ein margilin b'yom tov. And these pieces are all going to fall under the Beit Shammai Hillel dispute as it expands out. Ein margilin b'yom tov. Margilin means to flay an animal's skin starting from the legs up, which is a very big tircha, and it was, we'll find out, depreciates the meat of the animal, but is very good for particular kinds of uses of kind of wineskins or whatever that want to have a full skin from the animal. You're not allowed to do that in Yom Tov for a simple reason, because it's a lot of tircha not for eating, because you're not going to eat the skin. And the same thing is, you're not allowed to do that to a bechor, and a bechor b'amum, obviously, and or any other psule muktashin. Now, let's analyze. On Yom Tov, I understand, you're doing an extra tircha for something you can't eat. Our bechor man tana, who's the tana who says that a bechor b'amum can't be flayed like that? So Rav Chista b'tshamahi, Rav Chista identifies it being b'tshamahi. Because after all, what's Beit Shammai's position? That a Bechor Baal Mum still has Kedusha, and that's why it can't be eaten by a Tameh, at least Yotzei Al Migufo. And therefore, it has to be dealt with like Hekdesh, and you're not allowed to strip it that way, which would be bizarre and courtship. For Psule Mukdashin Mantana, who's the author of the other piece, Psule Mukdashin, Rav Chista. So Rav Chista again comes to the rescue and says, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, it's the Tana, Rav Shimon's son, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. Ditnan, how do we know Rav Elazar Rav Shimon has that position? Because we have this Mishnah in Tumah. Hayu lefanav shtei chataot, let's say a guy did a sin. He was Mechal HaShavos Peshogeg. And he didn't know if his animals were going to make it, so he set aside two animals for chatat. And what happened? Achat me v'achat balat mum. One indeed got a mum. Tmima tikrav, so bring the tmima, and then balat mum tipadeh, then redeem the balat mum, and the money goes to Hekdesh. Nishchata balat mum, but let's say the balat mum was shechted first. Imad shlo nizrak tamashal tmima, if you had not yet brought the tmima, then muteret. You're allowed to eat the balat mum. You redeemed it, you're allowed to eat the balat mum. But imish nizrak tamashal tmima, but if you had already been zorek dam of the proper animal, then what you have is this chatat balmum is a chatat shin kapu baleha, and it's supposed to go to mitah. And therefore, if you shechted it asura, and you have to bury it, and you can't eat it. Whereas Rav Shimon Omer, he takes it further. He says, afilu basar bakterah, if you shechted the balmum, and you were still cooking the meat, and the meat was there, and then nizrak tamashal tmima, meaning you didn't yet eat all the meat, asura, it's still asur, because what's his position? This Psula Mukdashin, this Chatat Balat Mum, had attained its status of Kedusha all the way until it's devoured. And therefore has to go Lemitah. I mean, it's already dead, but you can't eat it. And so therefore you see that he would say that the Psula Mukdashin can't be stripped that way because they still maintain their Kedusha. So now the question is, why did Rav Chista identify the second and third clauses of that Braita as belonging to different authorities, Beit Shammai, and then much later, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon? 100 years later. Why doesn't he just say the whole thing is Beit Shammai? The answer is he's not so sure. Dilmad kamlo kamri Beit Shammai. Maybe Beit Shammai only said their position about Bechor. Bechor de kushatomi rechem, because the Bechor is born a Bechor, it has inherent Kedusha. And then maybe its Kedusha never goes away, even when it becomes a Balmum. Absum ukdashi nek kushatomi rechem lo, but rather a regular Kodshim that you sanctify, and then they got a mum, maybe in that case he would say that the Kedusha does go away and it becomes a Baal Mum in your podet, and therefore you could strip it that way. V'lok makor v'kor v'lo z'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' brightness of Elazar b'Shimon? The answer is again, Zaman Kamla Kamar Elazar b'Shimon Hatam al Psulim Mukdashin, they don't need Paspidyono. Think about it, Psulim Mukdashin are strong enough that when you give money for Pidyon, the money becomes Hekdesh. And Bechor, lo Ali mit Paspidyono, Bechor you can't redeem. And therefore, perhaps when a Bechor becomes a Balmum, it's actually weaker. And therefore, maybe you could strip it. So therefore, lo, and therefore, Elazar b'Shimon might have said in that case that you could strip it, and therefore he can't be the author. As we saw in the previous piece, that you are allowed to sell and to weigh out regular psul mukdashin, not b'chon ma'aseh, but regular psul mukdashin in a regular context. In the marketplace, which means once they are psulim mukdashin and nifteh, they lose their kedusha, and the only isra is giza vavoda. Kevin ikur avchal hektesh, and the idea is since hektesh gains sharila, as we saw earlier, that we allow you to sell it that way because hektesh is going to gain from the higher price you're going to get from the meat. So same thing here. Why don't we allow you to strip off the pelt that way and give hektesh a bigger plus? Because the gain in the pelt is a loss in the meat, and the Hektesh gains nothing from this. Now, they quoted Ravina in Eretz Yisrael, oddly enough, and they had a whole different answer to this. The reason you're not allowed to be Margilin is not because of a Shammai, and not because of a Elazar b'Shimon, it's Ladivir Akol. Some read it that way, we're going to prefer that reading. That because it looks like you're doing avoda, you're actually working with kodshim, and there's certainly an Easter of avoda. As Ravino Meir, Gzeira Shemi Gadami and Adarim Adarim. There's another concern is that you have a balmum, you might not shecht it right away, you might keep it around for a while in order to wait until somebody will come along who wants that beautiful skin that's all taken off by the legs, and in the meantime, somebody is going to errantly either shear it or work with it. And Shemayim Aladei Tekala, therefore we want to check it right away, therefore we do not allow you to have this super flaying process. Okay, the next part of Mishnah Bet, Bechor Shachazot Dam. Let's say a Bechor gets too filled with blood and needs a bloodletting. Problem is, the bloodletting, of course, will be making a mum, and this Bechor is a Bechor Tam. Afilu Meit En Mekiz Nel Dam Ver Yudah. Yudah says, even if it would die otherwise, you cannot let its blood. The Chachamim Omrim Yakiz. Chachamim say, no, you could let its blood. Try not to make a mum. But if you did make a mum, that's not a mum that you could shecht for, because of course our concern is that this mum was made somewhat deliberately, and now that it's a bal mum, you could keep it, and it's all addressed, of course, to the Kohen who got it. Rabbi Shimon says, go ahead and don't worry about where you're making the mum, and that's all Rabbi Shimon says. Not a whole lot different than Chachamim, but we'll see more in the Braita from the Tosefta coming up right now. You can only do a kazah in a place where you're not going to make a mum. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir is like Chachamim in the Mishnah. Chachamim omrim, a slight variation, af makom shoseh bo mum. You could even do it in a place where you make a mum. V'ashloi shachet al l'toa mum. As long as you don't shecht using that mum, which is the other half of what Chachamim said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon omar af ishchat al l'toa mum. Rabbi Shimon here takes what he said in the Mishnah one step further, and he said, you could even shecht based on that mum. Rabbi Yehuda omer, afilu meit en mekiz en lot adam. Rabbi Yehuda, like he said in the Mishnah, even if the animal is going to die, if you don't let its blood, you still don't do it. Okay, that's the Braita, somewhat parallel to the Mishnah. If you look in the Tosefta itself, you'll see that the names are switched, oddly enough, from Shimon and Yehuda are presented with the opposite pieces, which means between that and our Mishnah, we certainly have some confusion, but the version that we have here lays out fine. Now, Madim Rabbi Elazar Lebrei, Ramadan Rabbi Chia Lebrei. So one of the great early Amoraei Eretz Yisrael taught his son the following. K'machloket, kan kach machloket b'chavit shel truma. The same machloket we have here aligns with different positions in the Mishnah and Trumot, Perak Chet, about what to do when you have a barrel of truma wine. As follows. You have a barrel of truma wine, and there's now a safek tuma. Maybe a sheretz got in, maybe not. Maybe it touched it. Rabbi Lazar says if it was in a place where there was lots of access to tuma, then bury it away, hide it so that it'll be protected. Meaning, maintain the safek and don't let it get tameh. And if it was uncovered, covered up, again to protect it. Rishua says the opposite. So he says expose it and allow it to become tameh. Rashi points out this is not just a permission, but this is actually advice. You should allow it to become tameh because then you can at least do something with it, like to pour it out ceremonially or something. Leave it alone. Okay, those are the three opinions, and now either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Chiya was teaching his sons that these three opinions align with three out of the four opinions we had in this Braita. Rabbi Meir, in our Braita, who says, don't make a mum, Rabbi Eliezer, he says like Rabbi Eliezer, which is, to keep, even though this thing is now a safek, still keep it protected. Rabbanan, who say, it doesn't matter, you couldn't make a mum, Rabbi Yeshua, who says, let it get exposed. For Rabbi Yehuda, who says, don't touch it all, even at pain of death, Rabbi Gamliel says, leave it alone. Rabbi Gamliel says, La'i chadesh podavar. Now, Mimai, and watch this six times across, we're going to now say that the alignment may not work. This is our comment. Maybe your mayor only said that you can't do the moon because that you're doing a moon with your hands. But in the case of the truma, you're just letting it become tamei. Rabbi Yeshua's fairly. Maybe he'd agree with Yeshua, you can open it up. And maybe Rabbi Eliezer's position about the barrel is as we'll see in a little bit. Rabbi Eliezer's position may be premised on the idea that Eliyahu may come and tell us that it's tahor, meaning we may discover that in reality this thing is tahor, so let's not let it get tameh, let's protect it. But in this case the animal is going to die if you don't let its blood. Maybe he agrees with the Rabbanan that you should let its blood. And maybe the Rabbanan here in Bechor have their position, because they say if you don't take care of it, it's going to die. So this is an inversion, sort of what we just said. Maybe Eliyahu will come and be Matayer, maybe they'll agree to protect the barrel. Rabbi Yehuda's position here to not touch the Bechor, to come and be a dive, because you're doing an act with your hands. There, where you're only opening it up and letting it become Tameh, if it happens, that's maybe they'd agree with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel's position in the barrel is to Shemi Avoy Eliyahu V'Yitarena. Maybe he agrees, don't touch anything because Eliyahu may come, meaning information may come to light that it's Tahor. But here, in the case where you leave it alone, meaning inaction will cause it to die, maybe he'll agree to step in. Besides all of that, the machloket between the positions is not based on a consistent shita about how to deal with these things, but rather psukim that are local. First of all, when it comes to Bechor, if you have some food that is chametz, and then you are mechametz it again, then in the tzemincha, shu chayav. Why? Dichtiv lo teafeh chametz, v'lo teaseh chametz. We have two psukim. Don't bake it as chametz, and it's no mincha shall become chametz. So therefore, even if it's already baked chametz, you still can't make it. So you get makot for a second time. And if you castrate an animal and then do a further, more intense castration on the animal, you're still chayav dichtiv. Natuk v'charut is referring, natuk means actually cutting off the member, and charut is to cut internally. Why did the Torah have to tell us that you're chayav for no take? After all, you're chayav for korate, which the externally it's still there. It's there to tell you that even if you did korate and then did not take your chayv a second time, which means what these two things have in common, making an object wrong and then making it wrong again is a separate chayuv. So lo nechleku, Rabbi Yochanan says, elav matum mum b'bal mum. The machloket between Rameyer, etc., is about something that's already a bal mum, and you're making it another, you're putting another mum on it. And the notion here is that this animal that's got this big blood problem already is a balmum. Adding a mum to it falls under this issue. Dremeir savar kol mum lo yebo. The pasuk says it may not have any mum. And lo yehiya, we're reading it like lo yehaya. Don't generate a mum, even if it's got a mum. Rabbanan savri tamim yehiya lo ratzon. It should be unblemished. The minute it's not unblemished, we're done. Then you can make a mum. And therefore you can let blood. Rameo hai tamim yehiya lo ratzon. What does Rameo do with that pasuk? Mi bayere. It's there to tell you that this does not apply to something that was a balmum before your makdishit. Balmum mikaro pshita, that's a no-brainer. Dikla balmum, it's a piece of wood. Meaning, when your makdishit wasn't chal. It's there to exclude psulim uktashin after you redeem them, that there is no issur to make a mum. Why would I think there is? I redeemed it. Because remember, if I redeem a kodshim or a balmum, then there's still an isra of giza vavoda. So, but mumin nami litzur, I might think that there's still an isra of imatum mum. So, kamash malan, tamim yal ratzon, as long as it's tamim, meaning, as long as it's still a hekdesh, I can't make a mum on it. Alright, once I redeemed it, then I can. But if it's a hekdesh balmum and I didn't redeem it yet, I still can't. That's Rameo's position. Run nami aktiv komum lo yebo. What are they going to say about that? So the grammar udati, that's coming for the case of grammar to say, not only may you not actively make a mum, you also may not let it set up a situation that's going to lead to it getting a mum. The tanya mum lo yebo, any mum lo yainli ela shle tenbo mum. That's making a mum. Famous piece. How do we know that you can't put some sugary fruit or something or dough on its ear so that the dog will come to eat it and it'll bite its ear off and make a mum? Tamaloma kol mum. Echad mum vechad kol mum. Meaning a mum you make and anything that you cause to make a mum. So that's how they learn it. So in other words, the machloket or mir chacham is not about a general approach to interfering or leaving something alone when it's already somewhat blemished, but rather it's psukim. And hacha mekrai pligi, the thing about the barrel, is also psukim. So we have a whole string of amoraim who say the same thing. I am giving you to guard my trumot in the plural. It says trumotai in the plural. What's that? Achat trumat Torah, achat trumat tluya. So that includes truma that's still Torah and truma that's a safek. The Torah says guard it, which means I'm obligated to guard even truma that's a safek. Therefore, this barrel has to be sealed up and put it somewhere safe. Rabbi Yeshua says trumatikti. If you look at the way it's written trumati. There's no vav after the mem in the Torah. So therefore, read it as trumati in the singular. So the name of Rabbi Lazar Sabi Yeshem Lemikra, and this takes us to the sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet about Yeshem Lemikra and Yeshem Lemesora, meaning, do we follow the way that the pasuk is read or the way that it's written? Since when does Rabbi Eliezer take the position that we read the pasuk the way that it is read, and that's what we're doing here, true motai, or mini, the famous machloket in the middle of the first parak of Kiddushim between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer about what liberates an Amma Ivriya based on the behavior of a master? The pasuk says bevigdovat. The way we read that pasuk out loud is that he put something about a garment, a beged. But the way that it's written, because there's no yod there, which we read it bevogdova, which means he rebelled against her. He was treacherous to her. Rabbi Kiva, Kishitato, reads, Yesh Eim La Mikra. We read it the way that we read the text, and therefore he reads it as bevigdova. The minute that the master put his garment over, meaning he gave her kiddushin, he can no longer sell her. The minute he rebelled against her, the implication of that is not a problem. What we are concerned about is that he's reading it bevogdova, which means he reads it the way it's written, not the way that it's read. For midrashic purposes, of course, laning, he would read it bevigdova. But he reads it for midrashic purposes the way it's read. Therefore, he should read trumati, not trumotai. So we have to throw that out and say, lahacha bahakami palge. They disagree about the following. You only have to guard, Mishmer Truma Tai means, you only have to guard that Truma that's really fit for you to eat. And therefore, since this is Safek, you can't. Rav Moshe agrees, but he says, maybe Eliel will come, maybe facts will surface and indicate that this really is Tahor, and therefore, unless it's absolutely Tameh, without a question, you should still guard it. Okay, but again, these are local issues, and therefore, what Reb Chiya or Reb Elazar was teaching his son about aligning the opinions in our Braita with the opinions of the Mishnah and Trumot doesn't work, because not only would the opinions possibly not match as we saw over and over, but also because in each case, their approach is based on psukim, not based on a general approach, a general shita. Amimam Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So Shmuel said that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Remember, Rabbi Shimon is the one who in the Mishnah said you could lechatchila shecht it, do the bloodletting, even though it'll make a mum. And in the Braita, Rabbi Shimon went further and said you could even shecht the animal based on that mum. Magrav Nachma Yitzchak k'Rabbi Shimon. So he said when Shmuel said halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, which statement is he referring to? If you think he means the one in the Mishnah, we didn't know that Shmuel held Davar Shimon Kaven, because that's why Reb Shimon, who famously says Davar Shimon Kaven Mutar, that's why he says you're allowed to let the blood, even if it's going to make a mum, because that's not your intent. But Shmuel already said that. So Shmuel said explicitly from Shimon. He read it without tradents. Rav directly Amar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel directly Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon. El Rabbi Shimon the Braita. When Shmuel said Halacha Rabbi Shimon, he meant Rabbi Shimon and the Braita that you're allowed to shecht based on that moon. And that's more than just Davar Shimon Kavein. Right, and there's no reason to be gozer here. Rav Shesh Ben Yavida, Matni Labehedya, he had an explicit version of that statement. I mean, Rav Shua, Alach, Rav Shimon, the Braita. Rav Shimon and the Braita is who we follow. Good. We'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.